Hi, this is Derek from Atlanta. Unlike Bob, I am a former law enforcement officer, but I still enjoy listening to a practical show by a practical guy. You're listening to the Handgun World Podcast.
Hello friends, I'm Bob Main. Welcome to another episode of the Handgun World Podcast. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. This is episode number 377 of a practical show done by a practical guy like me because I'm not ex-law enforcement, I'm not ex-military, and I'm not a gunsmith. I'm pretty much just an everyday guy that really takes my Second Amendment rights very, very seriously. So this practical show, this episode here, I'm doing this introduction before I really have a chance to settle on what my main topic is going to be. But I'm recording this introduction right now, about a day after the last podcast released, because I have a correction to make. Every once in a while, I make a mistake on the Handgun World Podcast. Hey, did you know that? Yeah. Hey, I'm human like everybody else, and I make mistakes. And I'm never afraid to admit if a mistake is made. You know, John F. Kennedy once said, "A mistake does not become a problem unless you fail to correct it." And I'm not going to fail to correct it. So let me go ahead and correct this mistake. Last week, Ben Chang, El Paso licensed to carry instructor, did, I thought, a great interview with me on the daddy principle of concealed carry and self-defense in general. So, Ben, thanks again at El Paso licensed to carry. However, there's a bit of an inaccuracy that I want to point out in our interview. Officer Greg, that's his first name, Greg, from California. I don't have permission to use his last name, but Greg is a police officer in California. He's with the California Highway Patrol. And he corrected me on something that last week was said in my interview with Ben Chang. This is what he said. By the way, he complimented me on my show. Thank you, Greg. I appreciate your compliments. Thank you very much. He said he was listening to the interview with Mr. Chang when he said, "I heard him say California does not have a castle doctrine and that there is a duty to retreat before using deadly force." Negative, negative. Greg writes, "As a police officer and part-time concealed carry instructor, I'd point to California Penal Code 198.5. It's not called the Castle Doctrine, but it is exactly that. The presumption of fear is given to the user of deadly force if he or she is attacked inside their home. There is nothing in California law that states that a person must retreat before using deadly force. In fact, while it's not a law, jury instructions are written here that state that a person can stand his ground when defending himself." He says, "I'm married to a judge. These things get discussed often in our house." I got a chuckle on that one. Anyway, so Greg, thank you for clearing that up. He also went on to say in this email that in California they can own semi-automatic rifles, pistols, and shotguns, with the exception of a few counties. We issue a ton of carry permits here. Good for carry statewide and quite a few other states too. He said in California we can currently own high cap mags. We just can't buy new ones. There are a lot of misconceptions about this state. And while it's far from a great place to be a gun owner, it's not as crazy as the eastern seaboard states. And Greg, thank you very much. Greg says quite a few of his other law enforcement friends listen to my show, and I appreciate that. To all of Greg's law enforcement friends, thank you very much for listening to the Handgun World podcast. And that is Officer Greg, a California Highway Patrolman. So once again, hey, and by the way, I got to give Greg credit for something. Greg designed my new logo. He designed my new logo. So I think it's an awesome, it's a cool logo. Greg did a great job. He really hit the ball out of the park, I think, with it. I've been getting a lot of compliments on it, Greg. Thank you very much. And thank you for sending me this email. See, folks, mistakes sometimes get made. And I wanted to clear this one up. So, thanks again. Let me make a quick mention of my sponsor, ConcealmentSolutions.com. I've asked Jason to start working on a special holster that he's designing for me. And once he designs it and I check it out, he might actually make it part of his product lineup. And it'll be an exclusive Handgun World podcast holster. Pretty cool. Give us a few months to kind of go back and forth, get some things put out there and tested. Speaking of tested, last week I talked about the Shield Plan B magazines, and I'm going to go do a range test this week. I'm going to head to the range and test the Shield Plan B base pads. I think I said magazines. I meant base pads. Base pads for Smith & Wesson Shield 9mm or 40 magazines. Really cool. I talked about the benefits of them. I also put a nice video on my Facebook page and my YouTube channel. So check it out. Facebook.com/HandgunWorldPodcast or Handgun World on YouTube. Got a couple of really cool videos about the Shield Plan B that Paul Carlson from the Safety Solutions Academy produces. But Jason at ConcealmentSolutions.com is the maker of the fine Cobra outside the waistband holsters that I really like. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I quit carrying inside the waistband. It's so comfortable and so nice and easy and fast draw carrying outside the waistband. I don't see any reason anymore to carry inside the waist. I have a Cobra holster for every pistol that I carry. Shield, Glock 43, Walther PPS, and Glock 19. And mostly I carry the Glock 19 and the Shield. There's no reason for me to carry inside the waistband anymore. With just about anything I wear, I can conceal carrying outside the waistband. And if it's a situation where I have to tuck in my shirt, then I just use one of my pocket pistols. So check it out, ConcealmentSolutions.com, ConcealmentSolutions.com. They are my one and only official sponsor here at the Handgun World podcast. If you use the coupon code HandgunWorld, it'll get you 10% off of everything except for the belts. 10% off, coupon code is HandgunWorld. All right, that completes the introduction that I wanted to make. Mainly was correcting the information that was put out in last week's episode. I'm going to play kind of a sound effect or a public service announcement, and then I'll get right in to the main topic. Okay, before the main topic, I've got a couple of voicemails that I want to answer. So I'm back in the Handgun World mobile studio once again. A little bit of rain going on, but good, safe driving conditions, even though there's a little bit of rain going on. And I got everything here under control nicely. And I've had a chance to think. I'm on about a 3-hour drive, about halfway into it. And I've had a chance to do some thinking. And before I left on my trip, I checked the Handgun World voicemail box, and a couple of voicemails came in. So let's listen to the first one.
Hey, Bob, this is Mel from the Midwest. So I want some advice. I want to spend some money on the campaign, and I want to get the best potential, I realize it's potential, bang for my buck. I live in Missouri. So the question is, who should I donate to? Local politicians are one thing, but there's nothing excitingly big happening here. Should I try and send money directly to the Donald, who I think is the best candidate or should I send it to a Republican organization? Any other thoughts, or the ILA, et cetera? But I'm really thinking more about the upcoming really critical election. So let me know what you think, and you could see if other listeners have better suggestions, want the money to count, and want us to keep our Second Amendment rights starting next year. Thanks for the podcast. Have a great day.
Great voicemail, Mel, and that's a great question. Wow, that's a good, challenging question. I'm going to do the best I can to give you some recommendations. I'm cruising in the handgun world, mobile studio, but during this drive, I've had a chance to think about Mel's question. Mel, here's my suggestion for you. I would take whatever total amount of money that is you have that you want to spend, and I would split it 50-50. I would go ahead and donate to the Trump campaign if that's what you want to do, if that's how you want to support a political candidate. Because, yes, between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, and let's face it, folks, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton are the only two choices that we have that can win. A third-party candidate's not going to be able to win this cycle around. Okay, so this election cycle, don't be wasting your vote, folks, on a third-party candidate. Yes, it's what I said. I think it's a wasted vote. And again, I don't like to talk about too much politics, so I'll just leave it at that. But for Second Amendment rights, Donald Trump's going to be a lot better for Second Amendment rights than Hillary Clinton, for sure. The other 50%, I would send to either the NRA ILA, that's the NRAILA.org. The ILA, the Institute for Legislative Action, that's the part of the NRA that they use for lobbying and pressuring politicians into protecting our Second Amendment rights. I don't know if you guys knew that or not, but the NRA ILA, the Institute for Legislative Action, is the arm of the NRA that they use to raise money to influence politicians. But I'm a big fan of the Second Amendment Foundation as well. SAF.org, SAF, Second Amendment Foundation.org. They have won some huge court battles, from Supreme Court all the way down, even into federal and district courts, over the last 6 to 7 years, or 8 years maybe, whatever, however long that they've been pursuing it through the Supreme Court. They've been doing great, great work, and they need to be funded as well. I've donated to SAF.org many times. I've also donated to the NRAILA.org. It's not just enough to be an NRA member. You also need to support the Institute for Legislative Action. So that's what I would do, Mel. If I was going to make your decision, I'd probably send half of it to the Trump campaign and half of my money to either the NRA, ILA, or the Second Amendment Foundation. Here's the good news. This is what I really like. Wow. Mel, the fact that you're even willing to do this is terrific. I think it's great. And you've got to be able to support the people who are protecting your Second Amendment rights. And you know, I'll tell you, it's not just organizations like NRA, ILA, or Second Amendment Foundation. Support your favorite podcaster as well. I had to throw that in there, right? You knew I was going to do that, didn't you? Come on, listeners, you knew. I'm a professional salesperson. I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't throw that in there. I wouldn't be living up to my reputation. But those of us in the podcast world, we work hard. Even people who have actual radio shows, we all work very, very hard in numerous ways. Not just over the airwaves, but behind the scenes, we all work very hard to preserve our Second Amendment rights. Do you know what I think one of the most important things that we can do to protect Second Amendment rights? It's create more gun owners. Create more gun owners and get more gun owners trained. So, if you don't have a lot of money to spend, encourage people you know, whether they're family or friends, to make sure that they have a gun, that they have a good gun for self-defense, and that they go get some training with it. I'm convinced the more people, that the more gun owners that we create, and there's been millions and millions of new gun owners in the last half a dozen years, the more gun owners we create, I believe, the harder it's going to be for anti-gun politicians to take those guns away. Even the harder it's going to be to restrict the purchase or the restrict of the ownership of those guns. When you start messing with people's property, people get pretty upset. And a firearm used for self-preservation and self-defense is a personal piece of property. Most Americans don't take too kindly to the government messing around with their personal property. So create more gun owners. And more net gun owners. In other words, you know, you hear a lot of things like, well, there's 200 million guns out there. Yeah, there are. There might be 200 million guns out there, but that doesn't mean that there's 200 million gun owners, because there are plenty of people that listen to this podcast, including me, that own more than one firearm. In fact, some of us own a whole lot more than one firearm. So you got to remember, the total number of guns that are owned probably doesn't even come very close to telling you how many gun owners that actually exist. But the more that we can create, the better. So, to you the listener, even to Mel the caller, the more we can do to encourage people to have guns, the more secure our rights are going to be. I firmly believe that. And people in the podcast world, like me, people that have radio shows and even TV shows, we need to be supported as well, because we get the word out. We get the word out to thousands, tens of thousands, and hundreds of thousands of people normally every week. And by the way, speaking of TV shows, I've been watching the Sportsman's Channel, the Outdoor Channel and the Sportsman's Channel, because I've got DirecTV at home. And I've been watching Michael Bayne's The Best Defense. Good stuff. Real good stuff. I've been watching some of the shows. Tom Gresham and Chris Serino are on some shows, and I think they're on Handguns and Ammo or something like that, or Guns and Ammo TV or whatever. There's you guys, if you've got cable TV, you need to subscribe to and watch the Outdoor Channel, the Sportsman's Channel. A lot of good stuff on TV. And, of course, First Person Defender that Tom Gresham from Gun Talk produces. That's on YouTube. Good stuff. But Tom Gresham's got a lot of stuff actually on TV, on the Sportsman's Channel, Outdoor Channel as well. And I've been watching a lot of that. I learn a lot. Mike Sieglander's on quite a bit. It's never a substitute for training, but it's really good to get you thinking and to get you focused on what it is that you should be thinking about, preparing for, practicing, owning, and so forth. Okay, that's all for now. I'll be right back.
A woman is approximately 10 times more likely to be successfully raped when she doesn't have a gun, according to a Department of Justice study. This explains why women in the United States use firearms about 200,000 times a year to stop sexual assaults. It also explains why more than 40% of women own or already have access to a firearm. So why do some politicians want to disarm women? Maybe rape isn't a serious enough crime in their minds. Or maybe they don't want to stare down the wrong end of your barrel.
Arm yourself with facts to strip the gun control industry bare. Visit gunfacts.info and get your free copy of Gun Facts. Called Indispensable by Cam Edwards of NRA News, Gun Facts is your rapid reference guide to debunking gun control myths and shaming politicians into obedience. www.gunfacts.info.
Hey, Bob. Herschel from Ohio. It is the 25th of July, Monday morning. I saw on the news just as I was leaving for work that there's another shooting, this one in South Florida again, and I'm sure it's a gun-free zone because it was a nightclub, although I haven't heard a whole lot of news about it yet. I'm beginning to wonder, is it worth going ahead and leaving your pocket pistol in, something of that ill, even if you are in a gun-free zone and taking that chance? Just because, would you want to be there and not have your little friend in your pocket to protect yourself and the lives of others that may be there? And how far do we have to go in society before we realize the threat is not only possible, it's to the point now where it's kind of imminent? That is a policy of the landowner, and I understand that that's their wishes that we not carry, and I can respect that, but at the same time, how far does it have to go before our Second Amendment right should overweigh the wishes of somebody that owns a place that has that sign? Yes, I know we can go to a different business that does not have that sign. That is very true, and that's what I try to do. But wow, if you really, really want to go into that building, I'm beginning to wonder if you shouldn't take the chance. I have not done that yet, but I'm really beginning to wonder, should you do that and take the chance? I don't know, Bob. Just something to think about. Love the show. Keep it up. Hope you and your wife and family are doing well. Thank you, Bob. Bye.
Obviously, that was another voicemail that I got from a listener. Herschel, thanks very much for calling that in. Another great, intriguing voicemail and an interesting question. Here's my response to you, Herschel, and that I want all the listeners here to hear. You know, I think this is two things going on here. Well, actually, probably three things. One thing that's going on is way too many gun-free zones, as we all know. Way too many gun-free zones. And I'm going to get to that in a minute. The second thing that's going on is evil in the hearts of men and women. That's why I talk about that at the end of almost every show. And it's getting worse and worse and worse. And the longer we stand for it, the worse that it's going to get. And I'll talk about what we can do there as well. And last but not least, it's, I believe, an attitude that people have about violence and about guns and things like that. And I'll talk about how to solve that. So let's talk about, first, gun-free zones. You know, I took a lot of grief a year and a half or 2 years ago in an older podcast that I did. I took a lot of grief just for even suggesting that property owners should not be allowed to take away our Second Amendment rights. Now, I understand the balance between property owner rights and constitutional rights. I understand that private property rights are very, very important in America. Private property rights are highly important. As a matter of fact, private property rights and control over one's private property had a lot to do with the American Revolution. It wasn't the only thing, but it had a lot to do with that. And there were a lot of, if you read some of the writings of the Founding Fathers, if you study up, even just a few internet searches, you know, about the Federalist Papers and other documents like that, you'll find that they were very concerned about preserving property rights. But like Herschel said. At what point do we say that property owners have gone too far to take away our Second Amendment rights? At what point? How far? Because this nightclub in Florida, both nightclubs in Florida where there's been shootings, movie theaters where there has been shootings, those are private property. Yet we're having horrific shootings take place on people's private property. Why? Because victims are not allowed to defend themselves in on those pieces of property. You know, I recently got an email from Craig in Illinois, a listener named Craig. Craig, thanks for your email recently. He said he's very disappointed in the state of Texas. He's from Illinois. And he recently was here in Texas, in Austin, San Antonio, Houston, and Galveston. And he says, I have to tell you, Bob, that I was unwelcome as a concealed carrier in so many places that I ended up leaving my gun in the car half the time. As a whole, I'm sure Texas is gun-friendly, but it seems that larger cities are not quite that way. You know, that's part of the problem. I've been complaining about that, too. Craig probably ran into a lot of signs, 30-06 and 30-07 signs. Unfortunately, here in Texas, signs carry the weight of law. They have the force of law. So the property owner can establish themselves as a gun-free zone. So that's a problem. At what point? You know, and this is kind of a slippery slope that we're on, I believe. It's kind of a slippery slope. This could get way too far. And this could escalate to where, even where concealed carry is, quote, allowed, unquote, in a state, because of property owners making their businesses gun-free zones, people's Second Amendment rights are stripped away. And the Second Amendment is a civil right. Would you agree? How many of you would agree that the Second Amendment is a civil right? It's part of the Bill of Rights, and it's a civil right. What happens to private property owners that start to violate some of the other civil rights that people have? What happens to private property owners that start to discriminate based on race, based on sexual orientation? Look at the uproar. Look at the uproar we've had lately in the United States because a bakery didn't want to bake a cake for a homosexual couple getting married. Okay? That's a private property owner. And some people say, well, you know, it's the civil right. You're violating the civil rights of the homosexual couple. Well, maybe. Maybe not. Look at the uproar. This is 2016. What would happen if a private property owner put up a sign that says, we don't serve people of a certain race? What would happen? How fast would that make the news? How fast would that be national news? How fast would people be calling that business establishment a complete disgrace? How much pressure would that business establishment fall under to reverse that and allow people of all races to eat at their restaurant, for example? But why don't we treat the Second Amendment the same way? Is not the Second Amendment the same type of civil right that people enjoy? The right to not be discriminated based on race, religion, sexual orientation. The right to free speech. The right to a speedy trial. The right to due process. Look how up in arms we get. No pun intended. Haha, up in arms. But look how excited we get in this country and how much of a disgrace we think it is when people are not afforded due process. And I agree with that. People have a right to due process in this country. And it becomes a big deal when somebody is denied their right to due process. But how come it's not such a big deal when people are denied their Second Amendment rights? So while I believe that property owners have the right to do what they want with their property, could this go too far? Think about that. Could this go too far? Yes, the argument can be made, well, you don't have to go to those businesses that put up signs that carry the force of law to keep guns out of their establishments. That's right, you don't have to go to those businesses. But if it gets out of hand, if we've got a majority of businesses, if it gets to that point where there's a large majority of businesses putting up the signs, well, then what? Have they gone too far? Are we still going to say, well, we'll just go ahead and we'll give up our Second Amendment right to carry a gun to protect ourselves because these property owners collectively, they all have rights too, and they have the absolute right to do this. So even though five out of seven places we can't carry our guns, well, we think that's okay. Really? Would you think that that's okay? Let's be careful, folks. Let's work real hard to let businesses know in many different ways how dissatisfied we are with them creating a gun-free zone. Let's not do business with those businesses as much as possible. Let's pressure our politicians as much as possible to get rid of gun-free zones. One way that we can really make a huge reduction in gun-free zones is to pressure our legislators to not let a sign carry the force of law like they do here in Texas. Now, Herschel asks in the voicemail, is it worth it to carry your little pocket pistol that's very discreet and can not be detected by anybody into these gun-free zones? I will never encourage anybody to break the law. I'll say that again. I will never encourage anybody to break the law. You make the decision that you feel is best for you. You make that decision. If it's totally unavoidable for you to go to a building or an area that's a gun-free zone, you have a decision to make. A few weeks ago, I had Rob Morse from the Self-Defense Gun Stories podcast as my guest here on the Handgun World podcast. And we talked a little bit about a prosecutor that would prosecute somebody that used a gun to save a bunch of lives, but yet they're going to prosecute the person who saved lives for having a gun where he or she shouldn't have had a gun. That probably would not be a very popular move, but do you want to take a chance on that? Do you want to take a chance of going bankrupt in attorney's fees to defend that? That's up to you. That is totally up to you. And it's up to your conscience. It's up to your faith. It's up to your morality governor as to what you want to do in that situation. Now, part of the problem is that gun rights advocates don't really have enough guts. I'm convinced of that, and I'm going to say some things that some people probably don't like right now. I'm going to say some things that are not going to be real popular. A lot of gun rights people don't have enough guts. They don't have enough guts to make their feelings known to business establishments and buildings that create gun-free zones. They don't have enough guts to stand up to politicians when they're being a tyrant. What am I talking about? In Massachusetts, less than a week ago in Massachusetts. The Attorney General, by herself, decided to ban the sale of certain rifles, semi-automatic rifles, that she deemed like assault rifles. Now, that's tyranny, ladies and gentlemen. The Attorney General of the state of Massachusetts does not have the power to make that decision. The legislature and the governor of Massachusetts has the power to make that decision, because that's the way laws are supposed to be written in this country. If the state of Massachusetts wants to ban any kind of a firearm, or really ban anything, it's supposed to go to the state's legislative process. The Attorney General cannot and should not, by herself, ban any kind of gun. Yet, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? That's what happened. That's what happened. Gun rights advocates don't have enough guts yet to stand up to these politicians. A lot of it is going to start in November, and I don't like to talk about too much politics, but, you know, I just can't seem to get away from it lately. I'm not going to get into Republican versus Democrat politics. I'm not going to get into that. Because there are a lot of Democrat voters that love guns and love their gun rights. I know some of you listen to this show, and I respect that. And there are Republican voters that don't like guns. Yeah, they exist. And some of them listen to this show because I've received emails from them. We have to get enough guts. And in this November, if you care about your Second Amendment right, which is a civil right, if you care about protecting your civil right, which is the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution, you have the ability as a voter to express how you feel about that on November 8th, this year, in the United States of America. How much guts do you have? If your perfect candidate didn't win the nomination, get over it, ladies and gentlemen. Please get over it. Be an adult and get over it. Realize, folks, we're not voting for pastor. I'm a man of Christian faith. I would much rather see, from a faith standpoint, someone other than Donald Trump become president. But you know what? Those candidates are no longer in the running. Between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, it's an easy decision for me. But if you're a one-issue voter and your only issue is the Second Amendment, it's a real no-brainer. Also, we're going to have to get to a point in this country where the United States citizenry says, all right, we have had enough. We've had enough of these shootings. And it's going to, you know what's going to really start to slow down some of these shootings? When several of them get stopped by citizens that have a gun and shoot back. Now, is that going to happen? I don't know. Because here's another problem. Lots of people who are licensed to carry, like about 13 million people that are licensed to carry in this country, they don't carry. They don't carry their stupid guns. They have a license and they don't. I know several of them. Personally, I know several of them. Some of them have come through my license to carry courses. Because in case you didn't know, I am a certified Texas DPS certified licensed to carry instructor for the state of Texas. I know people that have come through my class, passed the class, got their license to carry, and when I see them a few months later, I ask them if they're carrying. No. Well, yeah, Bob, I got my gun. It's in the glove box of my car. It's in the glove box of their car. And they're in the building with me, and their car is parked out in the parking lot. What good is their gun going to do in their car? By the way, it shouldn't be locked in their car loaded either. That's a whole other story. But what good is it going to do in their car when somebody comes in and starts shooting up the building? And that's the world we live in. Herschel, it's also not going to change until people accept the world we live in. I don't like the world we live in. Now, I'm not of this world, but I have to live in this world. It's where God put me right now. He put me right here in this world with all of you listening to this podcast. So guess what? I got to live in it. I believe I have a right to life. And I believe the concealed carry is also about the right to life. You know, the right to life is talked a lot about in the subject of abortion, which is abortion's a very controversial subject. And the right to life is talked about in association with abortion. And people call themselves pro-lifers. I'm a pro-lifer in a couple different ways. Yes, I'm a pro-lifer. I don't believe in abortion. I'm also a pro-lifer that I believe the people who are living also deserve the right to protect their life. And that's what concealed carry is all about. You have the right to preserve your life, if you can. Now, if God says it's your time to go, it's your time to go. You're not going to stop God. But a bad guy attacking you, or a terrorist shooting up the building, or someone with hatred in their heart that doesn't like people of a certain race, when they start committing a mass shooting massacre or terrorist attack, well, it might not necessarily be your time to go, but you're going to get killed if you don't know what to do. Now, some of you might know that I do another podcast called Today's Survival Show, where I talk about prepping and survival, modern survival, no tinfoil hat kind of stuff, just common sense survival. It's really applicable today because of the world we live in. And I just recently did two episodes. You might want to go listen to them. I did two episodes on how to survive a terrorist attack or an active shooting massacre. You might want to go listen to those because I've got some good information on those. You can find that on iTunes as well. Today's Survival Show. Or you can go to todayssurvival.com and listen to those. Well worth the listen. I'd invite you to do that. Herschel, your voicemail is a real good one because, yeah, how far are we going to let this go? And are you going to carry your pocket pistol even into a gun-free zone because you don't want to be one of those victims? And is that worth it to you? What does your moral compass say? What does your faith say? Or just what do you as a human being say about that? It's gone too far. Our world has changed, folks. This is not even the same world as 10 years ago. Not even close. As 10 years, but yet we got people living like it was 20 or 30 or 40 years ago. We, the American people, have all the power in the world if we'll just use it. The problem is we just don't use it. I still believe the greatest enemy that we have in this country. Guess what I think the greatest enemy we have. You might think I'm going to say it's ISIS. Nope, not going to say it's ISIS. That's not the greatest enemy. You might say, oh, well, let's see, Bob. The greatest enemy is some political party. Nope, it's not some political party. Well, the greatest enemy is hatred or racism or whatever. Nope, that's not the greatest enemy. Global warming, that's it, global warming, that's what I was going to say. No, I'm just now I'm mocking certain people, certain politicians. No, the greatest enemy that we have is apathy. Apathy. People don't care. And until that turns around, Herschel, until apathy reverses itself, until people quit being so apathetic, until they start caring, until they wake up and stop playing Pokemon and get out of their iPhones, get off Facebook, get off Twitter, and do something. That's when things will change. Now, I use Facebook and I use Twitter. What I meant by what I just said was stop spending so much time in that. Why don't you take half of the time that you spend on social media? Why don't you take half of that time and write your congressman, write your senator, write to some business owners and tell them that you're disgusted and never shopping at their store ever again because of the no gun sign? Why don't you take some of that time and have a conversation with your daughter, with your son, with your best friend about guns and about the fact that it's a civil right that's being taken away? That's what I'm talking about. So, Herschel, did I answer your question? It was a long answer, but hopefully I answered it. And if you got some feedback, folks, my telephone number is 210-646-1727. That's the Handgun World voicemail number. 210-646-1727. Okay, I've got to make a quick stop here on my drive, and I'll be right back.
And all guns should be Glocks. All Glocks should be 9mm and Model 19. A generation 4 or 3.
Okay, I'm going to wrap this up real soon, but I want to talk about two things. Something I forgot to talk about in the last segment. How about some people suing some businesses if a family member gets shot? Or how about if the people who get shot when they live, how about suing the business owner for liability? How about a major lawsuit against the business owner that posted a no-gun sign for not providing the proper security while you're on his or her establishment, and somebody got shot and killed? When is there going to be a big lawsuit on that? How about the people at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando? How about the family members of the people who got killed? How about a major lawsuit against the nightclub for not allowing guns in there and people to protect themselves? Maybe that's something that'll happen, that'll change some minds. Okay, there are some states that have passed laws that if you put up a no-gun sign, that you as the property owner bear some responsibility if somebody gets shot or hurt on your property. That should be the norm. That should be the norm. A business owner should know the consequences of making their business a gun-free zone. The consequences are you better employ some type of armed security to protect your patrons while they are on your property. How about an employer getting sued big time and losing because they didn't let their employees carry a gun? And then if somebody comes in, a disgruntled employee comes in, mad about something and starts shooting, and somebody gets killed, hey, what about that? Okay, I want to talk about a training class that I am taking. I have signed up for Suarez International's Advanced Gunfighting in East Tennessee. I'm going there the middle of August, August 13th and 14th. Instructor's name is Randy Harris, And he's a pretty accomplished Suarez International instructor. I'm really looking forward to that. And the class is being taught only an hour from where my mom lives. So I'm going to go spend some time with mom and enjoy some real good cooking and a great comfortable bed to sleep in. Far better than any hotel room. Oh yeah, get to eat mom's cooking and get to be with my parents. They live on a lake. I'll probably get a chance to do some swimming and water skiing and shooting. I mean, not shooting. What am I saying? Not on the lake. Water skiing, fishing, and swimming. And taking a shooting class on Saturday and Sunday. It's going to be cool. So I'm looking forward to it. It used to be called CRG-3, Close Range Gunfighting, Level 3. Now they're calling it Advanced Gunfighting. And it's a lot of good advanced skills. Good stuff. Even long-range shooting, like shooting out to 75 and 100 yards, which I'm really, really excited about, polishing up my skills at doing that. All right, with that said, folks, I think I've said enough to get people thinking here on this episode. I hope. So please remember, use my Amazon store whenever you make an Amazon purchase. Help support my show. I only have one paid sponsor, and I'm not getting rich on that by any means, folks. I can tell you, a lot of you don't spend any extra money, but you support me. And the way you do that is whenever you make an Amazon purchase on Amazon.com, first of all, go to HandgunWorld.com, and then click my Amazon store and follow that link when you go to Amazon. If you do that each time, then you can log into your Amazon account or your Amazon Prime account after that. But if you do that each time, Amazon is going to be supporting the Handgun World podcast. Our Shooters Club. Hey, I just put up a new video on the Shooters Club. I did a video about a new discreet carry backpack actually made by Colt. And it's a pretty cool backpack that I carry my AR-15 in when I'm traveling. Matter of fact, it's in my vehicle right now. And it looks just like a big backpack. So when I carry that thing into a hotel, nobody knows. And I got an AR-15 with me. And I can carry all kinds of other stuff on there too. So on the Shooters Club, I put a really good review on there. I'll be doing another follow-up review after about 2 months of carrying this thing for you. So Shooters Club, you'll be getting the benefit of another one too. Check out my YouTube channel as well. On YouTube, I just put up a video about the Shield Plan B magazines. What I thought was a pretty good review on Shield Plan B magazines that Paul Carlson from the Safety Solutions Academy has developed. Paul said he liked my video, so I thought that was good. You know, Ben Branham beat me to it. Ben put up a video on the Plan B magazines, and he did some of the stuff I was going to do, so I tried to change mine up a little bit. And I think you should enjoy my perspective as well. So on YouTube, go to Handgun World. Just search that. You'll see me, and you'll find my videos. I'd invite you to check that out. And don't forget about my class that I'm teaching September 17th in San Antonio. I don't have to travel for this one. How about that? Cool stuff. I am teaching Beyond Concealed Carry Advanced. I'm teaching some advanced skills. So next month, I'm going to be a student and an advanced class. And then in September, I am going to teach some advanced skills. One day, I'm going to condense it down to one day. I'm taking the curriculum that Ben and I have put together. We've called it worst case scenarios. So even all of you who have taken the advanced class that Ben and myself have taught, you're going to learn something if you come back and take it again. And it's only one day of your time, from about 8:30 to 5:30 at Lone Star Handgun in San Antonio. That's Saturday, September 17th. You can register for that at handgunworld.com. I'm Bob Main. You've just listened to another episode of the Handgun World podcast. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. And evil does not exist in the holster. It exists in the hearts of men and women. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you next week. Goodbye.
back.